Benchmark process and performance metrics. Benchmarking provides an objective way to set challenging but achievable performance improvement goals because competitors have found ways to make these levels of performance happen even if significant investment may be needed to get there. Different forms of benchmarking can be applied once the design team has narrowed down its research focus to a specific supply chain. Benchmarking can be self-reported or it can be a third-party assessment. Data needed for either method can rely on subscription services, which provide industry comparison benchmarking data for a fee. Another method requires filling out a detailed survey and results are provided by the service. After discussing benchmarking principles, we discuss these methods. Benchmarking principles. Benchmarking relies on the use of standardized metrics that can be linked to clear lines of responsibility and assessed during process owner performance reviews. Using standard definitions, such as those in SCORE-DS, for each metric will avoid time spent arguing over metric definitions. Similarly, benchmarking avoids metrics such as customer satisfaction because they are too subjective, using measurable things such as perfect customer order fulfillment instead. Similar but not the same metrics, for example, perfect order versus perfect line, will be too unlike to provide meaningful information. The design team determines what inputs, calculations, and output units of measure are used to develop the benchmark metric and ensure that their data are assembled using the same inputs, calculations, and units. They use their ERP or other information systems as much as possible to gather this information but may need to derive some data, such as determining how to convert total sales into finished goods sales. Design teams may need to ask customers what they think should be measured, or they can review service level agreements or contracts to see agreed upon metric definitions with partners. They may also need to make some compromises, measuring what makes sense, using proxies as needed until a method of obtaining the desired data can be developed. Even when the same metrics are used, there still may be wide variability in the data based on organizational differences. This includes different strategies or business models, product/service characteristic differences, manufacturing environment differences, regional differences, for example, pay ranges, or differences in how organizations choose to measure and report, for example, GAAP versus IFRS, and allowed methods within each. Many of these can be accounted for by taking the time to understand the business differences for each comparator, selecting the closest fit, for example, similar strategy, different industry, or adjusting for demographic differences. Document how each metric is calculated, its input components, its data sources, its collection method, how it is aggregated, and any assumptions made. Document how often periodic benchmark review sessions should occur in the future for the given metric. This needs to be part of the process going forward because the best data for analysis are trend data rather than a point analysis. Industry comparison benchmarking, self-reported or third-party. Industry comparison benchmarking can be done without submitting any data to a third party because the organization's internal data will simply be added to the results in an internal spreadsheet. It could be the primary benchmarking method if the organization does not wish to share its data with anyone. A third party could also perform this service. Organizations can get access to industry comparison benchmarking data from Reuters, D&B Hoovers, Forbes, APQC, and so on. For statistical validity, find at least 25 or more organizations as comparators. Fewer than this is considered a point-to-point comparison. The organization's own data may already be listed in such sources, so perhaps other internal business units could be included in the analysis. Sample, Incorporated made a spreadsheet of 25 competitors with the following metrics. Revenue in dollars. Selling, general, and administrative. SG&A, expenses as a percent of revenue. Cost of goods sold, COGS, as a percent of revenue. The all-important cash-to-cash cycle time and its subsets. Inventory days of supply, days payables outstanding, and days sales outstanding. Asset turns. Gross margin as a percent of revenue. Operating income as a percent of revenue. Net operating income as a percent of revenue. Return on assets. Note that there is no line item for total supply chain management costs. While this information would be highly valuable, it is not usually available in industry comparison data sets because it is not commonly reported on financial statements. Some of the costs of the supply chain are in SG&A costs and some are in COGS, but adding these fields would double count some costs and include some unrelated costs that should be omitted. Total supply chain management cost is measured at each organization with a managerial accounting method such as activity-based costing using relevant cost drivers, which will omit some costs. While a scorecard survey can provide comparative data on supply chain cost, if a survey is not used, it may be necessary to develop a proxy for supply chain management cost. The issue of non-standard reporting methods is especially problematic with SG&A and COGS since each metric has significant accounting leeway in what to include or omit. Looking at operating income can help assess comparability in these areas. If the organization is not at or above parity in operating income, it is a sign that there is significant benefit to be had from improving supply chain performance. Using this data set of metrics for 25 or more competitors, add columns to the spreadsheet calculating the 50th, parity, 70th, advantage, and 90th, superior percentile results. This will reveal gaps from targets. For sample, incorporated looking at these rows against cash-to-cash cycle time and related subsets made it obvious to the design team that cash assets are poorly utilized. Its asset turns are already above the targeted parity level, so it uses its physical assets well enough. Third-party scorecard survey benchmarking, for example, Scoremark. A scorecard is a visual display of KPIs needed to achieve strategic objectives that is presented in a single view. The balanced scorecard or Scoremark are examples. A complete scorecard needs to feature actual data per metric, comparable industry benchmark data per metric, competitive requirements, and clear indication of the size of each gap relative to competitive requirements. Scorecard survey benchmarking requires submitting supply chain metrics through a questionnaire, and the results of many organizations are compiled by the third party into a larger sample set. This method requires sharing data and takes more effort to compile, but it generally yields much richer results such as data on supply chain management cost, meaning that these results are often more comparable. Scorecard survey benchmarking can be used as the next round of benchmarking after an industry comparison, or it could be used on its own. The design team fills out a survey in a spreadsheet or other format, getting help from process area experts as needed. They specify their competitive requirement priorities such as for superior, advantage, and parity for each metric in the survey. They create a pilot test using a subset of orders and transactions so as to design a simple process for regularly collecting data, calculating values, submitting data, and reviewing results. Exhibit 2-22 shows the results of the survey that Sample Incorporated conducted. Note that your organization in the exhibit refers to the Sample Incorporated as is results. This is a mock-up of Scoremark survey results. Exhibit 2-22, Sample Incorporated Scoremark survey results mock-up. Survey results may also include a detailed review of each metric and its subsets, for example, level 2 and possibly some level 3 metrics. Exhibit 2-23 shows a mock-up for the chosen superior metric, cash-to-cash cycle time, for Sample Incorporated. The exhibit shows the level 2 metrics of days payables outstanding, days sales outstanding, and inventory days of supply, plus the level 3 metrics for inventory days of supply, days of finished goods, work in process, and raw material. Note how days sales outstanding and work in process have parity as their targets rather than superior. Exhibit 2-23, Sample Incorporated cash-to-cash cycle time days, levels 1 to 3 benchmark results. Sample Incorporated previously developed their own drill-down functionality to the third level of metrics and was able to provide these data in the survey. Surveys may or may not have benchmarking data down to this level. Based on this detailed benchmarking information, the design team makes these observations. Days payable outstanding and days sales outstanding have little opportunity for improvement relative to the goals they have set. Inventory days of supply is the obvious opportunity due to the wide gap from their target and the current poor performance of Sample Incorporated in this area. Within this metric, the level 3 metrics that offer the most opportunity are days of finished goods and days of raw material. Work in process offers no significant improvement benefit.